Proverbs 25 tonight. Why don't you stand with me? Let me read a few verses. And there's kind of two parts to Proverbs 25, and we have said this throughout the Proverbs as we've preached. You really don't preach Proverbs and expositionally, because it's just snippets of Proverbs here and there and sayings. And sometimes you can come to a proverb and say, all right, these three verses here go together and these four verses here go together. And Proverbs 25 is like that in as many of the other chapters. But you also kind of have it divided in two things, and that is the way of kings. And we preached that a couple of messages ago. And in the second part, we really called it the way of a common man. And truly, we are kings and priests unto the Lord if you're saved, so you can apply that to your life. But if we wanted to get practical, we would probably consider ourselves just pretty common. And praise the Lord for that. And so, inside of that, inside of the way of a common man, we preach this message on conflict. And if you'll remember, if you can remember back that far, that's what we dealt with, was conflict. One of the things that I said in that, it's amazing that anytime you say anything or anytime you preach something, it will eventually come to fruition in your own life. It will be able to be applied in some way or another. And I found just recently one of the things that I'd actually said, and I went back and looked at it: keep personal differences and arguments private. If something is personal, Brother Knudsen, and he got to, anyhow, witness what I'm talking about, keep it personal. I've said this to people. Listen, when it comes to problems in people's lives, you want to deal with it in the private. If they make it go public, you may have to deal with it in the public. But you want to try to deal with things discreetly as possible, but don't betray confidences. If somebody comes to you and says, I need to tell you something in confidence, and then 3 days later everybody's been on Facebook and everybody knows about it, you have violated and that brings conflict. And you know what? People could avoid conflict if they would just keep things private. And so I also said this, and I'm almost going to read the text here. One of the first things you should do in settling a dispute is carefully consider the matter and pray about the matter. And then go to the person that you need to go to. And I spent a lot of time, a whole lot more than that. But anyhow, so tonight, we're going to go real fast. We're going to look at conversation. We're going to look at the mouth just for a minute. We're going to look at sometimes the way that we speak and how and what God says about it, but our conduct. And then I think we need to all learn some constraint that's found in Proverbs 25. And then last of all, we'll look at some character issues. So let me read a few verses here. Let's look at verse 11 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver." Verse 12, "As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear." All right, look down to verse number 15. "By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone." Isn't it amazing people think that harshness is what breaks the bone? Hey, soft, soft words are what can break a bone. All right, now, let me give you a couple more. Look over in verse number 25. "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." You know what that talks about there? Faithfulness. Somebody being faithful. Verse 26. "A righteous man falleth down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring." Verse 27. I read this one to Abby not long ago when she raided the fruit snacks in our kitchen. I did. I read it. I said, "Honey, it is not good to eat much fruit snacks." Except, well, I'm telling you, it works the same, and I'm not taking it out of context. It is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. All right, there's a lot more we're going to look at tonight. I'm going to try to do it as quickly as I can, and if I can't, then at some point we'll just quit. All right? Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you speak to kings, but we also thank you that you speak to the common man. And Lord, we're very grateful that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is able to pierce even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. And Lord, my heart has been cut by the book of Proverbs and studying it and preaching it. And Lord, there's so much about our conduct and about our conversation and about our character and how we deal with conflict. Just some of those things are also right back at us in Proverbs 25. So Lord, as we look at these very quick snapshots of these different areas, my prayer is that if there's something that we're sideways with concerning the Bible, that we'll get right with God, that we'll repent, Lord, where we need to, and we'll seek your forgiveness and put things in order in our own life, because that's what Proverbs does for us. In Christ's name we ask, amen. Now, you may be seated. When we look at verses like 11 and 12 and 15 and verse 18, here's what it says in the negative sense. There were some positive things I said. In verse number 18, it says, "A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow." Now, those are things, or those would all be weapons that are used. A maul, a sword, and a sharp arrow. And if you ever got hit, I guess, over the head with a maul, or you ever got stuck with a sword or a sharp arrow, you would understand that's what it would be like. To be injured like that is what it would be like for somebody to lie against you or to say things against you. And really, it can really cut to the heart, especially when you hear somebody say something that you know is totally untrue. And the Bible tells us here that a man that beareth false witness is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Now, but there's also the fitting words, things that can be said that can help somebody greatly. And you know, that's what people need today. People need an encouraging word. Now, don't tell somebody that you're praying for them unless you actually pray for them. But if you tell somebody you're praying for them, then pray for them. And make sure you encourage them. Why do I say that? Because a word that is fitly spoken, something that is said at the right time, in the right occasion, with the right spirit. Sometimes we say something, but we say it with the wrong kind of attitude. Or we say it with the wrong kind of spirit. But a word that is fitly spoken here is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Now that means that is something that is pleasant, that is something that is good, that is something that is needful. And I'm telling you, have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, I think brother so-and-so just needs a word of encouragement"? You'd be amazed that if you find that God lays somebody on your heart to speak to them, write them a card, call them on the telephone, not for a gossip session, but for a word that can be fitly spoken for the occasion. Then it'll become pleasant and it'll become righteous. So what we're talking about here is our conversation. We've not only talked about the common man and conflict, but we're talking about the common man in conversation. Here's another thing he says. He also says here, as an earring of gold. Now, women like gold. I don't know if you know that or not. They like diamonds better, though. They love diamonds. I don't know what it is about women and diamonds, but if you're a man here and you there's some men don't have no idea about a woman. Let me just tell you about a woman. I'm telling you, they like diamonds. Amen. I preached this one time from the Revelation when I was preaching on the streets of God. I was talking about all the things, and I got to diamonds, and I said, a man who never buys his woman a diamond, he don't get it. And Lloyd Pridgel at that time went out and bought his wife a diamond ring. I said, amen, brother. That'll get you supper for the rest of your life, I guarantee you. So here it says gold, meaning something else that is good. As an earring of gold, so is a wise reprover. Listen to this. A wise reprover upon obedient ears. Now you can be wise. Sometimes some people need a sharp, some people need it bluntly. Some people need to be told, you take them by both ears or kind of like this. Do you understand what I'm about to say? And if you love that person and you're concerned about that person and you give them something that will be, even if it's a reproving something that says you cannot do this, this is not the way to do that. Listen, you're not being... You're not being prudent in this matter. You understand. Now listen, the older you get, really, the wiser you become, hopefully. I said hopefully. You need to learn some discretion. But if you can be wise in reproving somebody and they are obedient in what they hear, that's like gold. That is like gold. I would put it like this. That is a gold nugget. This has to do with conversation. And fitting words are portrayed basically in these verses that I read. They're portrayed as something that is fitting or beautiful or right or pleasant, such as that. They are fitting words for a wise rebuking of a person who has erred from the way that he has gone. It is not bad for us to be told, don't go that way. It is not a bad thing to be told, hey, listen, hey, time out, don't go down that direction. I remember Art Wilson telling a story about a bridge that had been washed out. And a man realized it, and he went and he was waving the flag and trying to show people, don't go down this road, don't go down this road. And one guy just went by him and just ignored the warning, and guess what? Plunged off into the bridge that was no longer there. Plunged off into the water that was no longer there. All this guy was trying to do was saying, hey, don't go down this road. Don't go that way. And when you hear something and it lines up with the Word of God and then you're obedient to it, God said, hey, that's gold. That is gold. That is, can I put it like that? That's money in the bank. And listen, when somebody has gone through something, no matter what it is, so therefore they've experienced this and they're wise in this and they try to instruct you and you actually listen and don't try to be a rebel and do it your own way, that's gold. That's money in the bank. And so we find that. There's also words like we see here in verse 15, forbearing. This means patience. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded. And a soft tongue breaketh a bone. It takes much patience, many times, to persuade a difficult case. But if you're, let me give you a great illustration of that. We all know here tonight the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way a man can be saved. We also know that the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is very powerful and you don't have to, have salesmanship when it comes to the Bible. You just read the Bible, preach the Bible. The Bible will always do its work. It convicts. It confronts. It shows us where we're wrong. It does all that. But some people are just hard cases. So here's what we don't do. We don't go, well, this ain't working. The gospel ain't working with this guy. My patience are running out, so I'm going to change the gospel and begin to preach that works are for salvation. No, we don't do that. But you just keep patiently preaching, patiently witnessing and patiently continuing to pray for the person. And how many times have I heard people who have prayed for many, many years and then somebody gets saved? Well, that's what the Bible says. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Few of us have this patience to continue with a soft tongue. That's the idea. You go, "Ah, I've had it!" So you begin yelling. That's not going to break the bone. You've got to continue on. Now, we've already read earlier in another passage in preached, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Here it says, a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Meaning, you've got to stay soft and you've got to stay right, and you just got to understand grievous words stir up anger. But a soft answer turneth away wrath. Now, I gave you the best illustration of that, but it was, if you don't remember it, I was playing golf with Al Price, and he hit a golf ball. We were hitting all, way up off of this mount. It was way up there, and the fairway was right down there, and he wasn't very good. If you go and play golf, you want to make sure that you consistently keep it on the golf course. All right, if not, this is my advice as a golfer. Go to the driving range until you can go, all right? Until you can kind of keep it in the golf course. Man, he hit that thing. It went off there. Hit a Ford F-150 brand new right in the side. And I said to Brother Al, "I'll stay right here. In fact, I'm thinking about, I'm going to walk to my ball. See ya. Preacher, you really not going to go with me?" "No, I'm not going to go with you." Because most people that drive a truck like that, that's a redneck Cadillac right there. They're using. And I'm selling you. No, I didn't. I got in the car and I'm thinking, well, I'm praying all the time. Oh, Lord. Because the guy went, "Ah!" When a guy gets hit with a golf ball like that and it's his truck, he's going to stop. Amen? Oh, I hope that doesn't happen to my truck. Anyhow, so we go down there and Brother Al was just as calm and soft-spoken. And the guy got out of, man, he was a grizzly bear, and Brother Al just spoke very quietly and said, "I apologize, sir. I'll be glad to fix anything, you know, blah, blah." And before it's over, that guy, that big burly guy, he just calmed down and he said, "Well, you know what? I think it's okay." We got in the car and I go, "That would never happen to me." I would have been begging the guy not to kill me, you know what I'm saying? And you know what Brother Al said at that point? He goes, "Well, brother, the Bible does say a soft answer turns away wrath." I said, "Oh, you always got to get spiritual, don't you?" But isn't it amazing that the Bible is always true? So the same holds true that if we will just continue with a soft spirit and a soft heart and a soft tongue, the bone will break. They will snap. God can speak to a heart through the Word of God. You don't need your inflection to help. You don't need to get angry. You don't need to speak volumes, if you would. And so there's forbearing words. There's fitting words. There's right words. There's much patience in witnessing. There's much patience in that. But then there's always the false. They're always the liar. And that's what we're talking about there in verse number 18 when it says, "A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, a sword, a sharp arrow." Now notice those other things are something that is fitting, something that is proper, something that is good, something that is beautiful. This ain't. To get shot with an arrow, that's not good. That hurts. To get hit with a maul and to be struck with a sword, that brings destruction. I remember when we had our lawsuit. And I got the phone call. I finally got a hold of Jay Kirksey, Brian and I. Brian Mills was the guy that went with me. And I'm telling you, I was probably silent the whole way, or I was talking 90 miles an hour, one of the two. I was disturbed about this whole matter. And so we get up there to the lawyer, and we go in and sit down. And so he comes in and he goes, "Okay, tell me your story." And I'm thinking, one of the things I thought is, I wonder how many times he said that and how many stories he's heard. You know what I'm saying? So we told him our story. We told him the whole thing, told him what was happening and what was going on and what was said. And so he immediately goes over to the telephone, and he didn't even know me, but he said something that was very profound and correct. He said, "Now, I'll let y'all listen in, but don't say a word." Now, he said that to a Baptist preacher. I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to say nothing until the guy on the other end started talking, and I'm ready. Then I was like, because here's what happened. Jay calls this guy, and he said, "The such and such law firm." He said, "This is Jay Kirksey. I need to speak to such and such lawyer." And this is Jay Kirksey with Kirksey Law Firm. So he gets on the phone. The guy gets on the phone, and Jay says this: "Hey, man, what's going on?" They do a little lawyer chit-chat, and he goes, "I got a question for you. Why are you suing my church?" Now, I looked at Brian going, "Oh, well, this is positive. It's not really his church, but hey, I like it. I like the angle, you know." So, he, meaning my client, "Why are you suing my church?" And he goes, and the guy on the other end goes, "Well, hold on just a minute." You could almost either see him getting the file out or hearing him get the file out. You could, in your mind's eye, you could see the lawyer opening up the file and be looking at his notes. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I got it right here. Well, I got it right here. It says, yeah, the, and by the way, if they say Baron, then you know they don't know what they're talking about. And if they call me Jeff Eblis or Oblis, then they don't know what they're talking about. All right, that's always a, you know. Well, the Brian Baptist Church, yeah, right here. It says here that my client has already talked to a Pastor Eblis." And Jay goes, "Jeff Ables? Yeah, okay, Ables. Said he has already talked to my client. He knows that he owes us the $85,000. And said, here, I've got a note here. It says, they're just waiting to refinance the building so that they can pay us." Now, those were the exact words, were they not? Now, listen, I got a mind like a something when it comes to stuff like that. And I'm sitting over there going, I'm looking at Brian, and I'm like, "I need to preach." I'm like, "Let me have that phone." And Jay's like, he could see the look on my face, because that probably that V in my forehead that people talk about sometimes that comes out. I'm sure the V was on my forehead. I'm like, so to make matters worse, this guy has lied. Well, listen, the lawyer necessarily lied, but the client lied to the lawyer. Oh, and right, by the way, just remember, time out. Let me give you a parenthesis. Let's go to the end of the lawsuit. They tried to put in there that I would never be able to do what I'm doing right now and disparage them. And I said, I won't sign that. I said, there is no way I'll ever sign a document that says that I can't disparage what they did to us or what they tried to do us and they couldn't do it. And Jay was like, "You are a hard case." I said, "You bet." "No, I'm a man of principle." And so Jay goes, "Okay, well, I'll rewrite it." And we rewrote it. When I went to sign the document, Jay called me and said, "All right, Pastor, you can come sign the document. Everything is done and signed, sealed, delivered." I drove up there as fast as I could get there because that was one document I wanted to sign. When I got ready to sign it, he said, "Okay, just disparage all you want." So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm disparaging. Now, okay, I'm out of the parentheses. Timeout's over. I'm back over here if you remember where we're at. I'm sitting there going, "You've got to be kidding." So after Jay says all that, then they go into lawyer talk. "Oh, yeah, man, how's your cases going? You know, working over there." And I'm over there going, "Hi, why, how can you do that? Get off the phone. I got to talk to you." When they finally got off the phone, he puts the phone down and he looks at me and goes, "Well, what'd you think about that conversation?" I said, what he said was lies from the pits of hell. Because that's exactly what it was. You know what I felt like while I was sitting there? And Jay Kirksey is talking to this guy on the phone about $85,000 and suing us and how come we hadn't paid and lying and saying things. I felt like I'd been hit with a maul. I felt like somebody had stabbed me with a sword. I felt like I'd been shot with an arrow. And I felt that way pretty much for the next couple of years while we dealt with all that, in the sense that a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, is destructive, is a hurt, is cruel. That was, you know what? There's a good word. That's cruel. To take words. And have you ever heard somebody say this? Sticks and stones? Yeah. You ever heard this? Can break my bones, but what? Say it out loud.
Words will never hurt me.
Let me tell you something. That is a lie. That ain't true. Words do hurt. And I'll say it again. If I've said it once, I'll say it 100 times. It's good old Tennessee Mama Abels used to say, boy, if you ain't got nothing good to say, just keep your mouth shut. But actually, it's supposed to be, don't say anything at all. But she said, keep your mouth shut. And especially if it's a lie. Now, if it's fitting, if it's beautiful, if it's encouraging, if it's a rebuke with the right spirit, let's also get that one in there. That's okay. But to lie, that's fierce. The Bible says in verse number 23, look at it. This is also in chapter 25, and these all go together. Verse 23, the north wind driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. A backbiting tongue is a bad tongue that needs strong opposition to stop it. So much sin abounds because of opposition. It is not very strong or forceful, but our text speaks of strong opposition to a bad tongue. Angry countenance. Too many people smile at evil instead of frowning at it. And you will not stop much evil that way. All right? That's conversation. I think we might be moving on. I don't know. How about conduct? Look at a couple of verses. Look at verse 13. Conduct. Conduct. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Look at verse number 19. Bible says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble. Now here's the opposite side of it, or the other side of it. In time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now what we have here is in conduct is one is dependable and one is faithful, and one conduct is not dependable, therefore is not faithful. You know what we need? We don't necessarily need ability as much as we need dependability. I tell you, I had rather have somebody that works for me that is dependable and faithful and true than to have all the ability in the world. Because Look at verse 13 again. I'm going to say it again. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger then that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. A faithful working... Listen, here's the idea here in this text. Somebody who is faithful and continues to be faithful and continues to be the right kind of spirit as they're being faithful is like a cold breeze on a hot day in the harvest. Now let me tell you about the harvest. The harvest has got to be brought in. You got to get it done. It doesn't matter how hot it is. It doesn't matter what the situation is outside. The harvest has to come in. If the harvest don't come in, you don't eat. Now, we're not talking about today, big old combines, guy gets in his air-conditioned combine. No, we're talking about you got to go out into the field, you got to bring in the harvest, and really, some of that time of harvest can be very hot and very sweaty, but it's also at the same time that just like in Missouri, out of nowhere, a cool breeze can come through. Ooh, there is nothing like a cool breeze on a hot day. Son, I walked outside this morning at 6 o'clock, and I had to take a knife to cut the air just to find my truck. And I was thinking, man, it'd be real nice right now if we had one of those western winds come up and the temperature goes down. And I was thinking about that because I was out running. And it never happened. And my lungs were filled with hot Missouri air. But I'm not lying. I was thinking, I should be in the air conditioner. This is not healthy. Man shouldn't be doing this. But you know what? A faithful worker can be as refreshing as a cold breeze on a hot day in the time of harvest. Because you know what faithfulness is? Faithfulness is refreshing. Faithfulness is a blessing. Faithfulness is encouraging. That's why I love people who continue to be faithful to the things of God. You know what they are? They're like a cool breeze on a hot day. They're like a cold water to a thirsty soul. They're like good news from a far country. Don't you love it when you get good news from a far country? And we can certainly apply that to missions. You get a good report from a missionary like we got tonight. I'd have said that whether Bonnie was here tonight or not. But it is a blessing. It's refreshing. Listen, that's what we're talking about here. That's our conduct. That is good. That is pleasant. See, God's always doing these contrasts. Oh, listen, you would be much better to be a hard worker and have fitting words and good words and right words and be faithful and loyal to the things of God. And because that's refreshing. But you put confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble, man, that's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now, if you don't know this, those two things are like hurt. Man, we went up to the Northwest to be with Sean Hartzell. I have never, ever had a root canal. Never. Until about last year. And we got up there and I woke up one morning and I'm telling you, I had a pain shoot through me like nobody's business. And, you know, I'm thinking a couple Tylenol, it'll go away. It didn't. It got worse and it got worse. And it was like this pressure was building up and I had to, and so I finally go, man, I got to find a doctor. Now, one thing I don't like is, number one, I don't like to go to the doctor. I don't like to go to the dentist, period. Much less in a far country that I don't know nobody. You know what I'm saying? If you live in Springfield, Missouri, you can like check around like who the good doctors are, who the not so good doctors are. And Brother Hastings was telling Robin at camp last week, well, now listen, if you got to do something with your foot, you got to do this, this, and this. You got to make sure this, and this. And you got to ask this, this, and this. And then you go to this person and you ask all these questions. I said, man, you taking notes? Because you don't want nobody cutting on your feet unless they know what they're doing. Somebody say amen. Well, you don't want nobody drilling through your head that you ain't never met. But I'm telling you, it got so bad, I would have went to a veterinarian. I would have let my son-in-law dig around on my head. It hurt so bad. And I said, man, you got to have to find me a dentist. I'm telling you, this is bad. This is just like over the top. And so we went in there, and Sean asked somebody in the church, and they found a dentist, and I went in there and told him my story, and he did a test, and bingo! He numbed me up, drilled through that, did a root canal, and I'm telling you, glory. But here's the bad part, so I'll tell you the rest of the story. I come back home. Guy's already done the root canal. I go to this one guy that my dentist tells me to go to, and he goes, well, I'd do the root canal too. I said, well, he's already done the root canal. And he charged me the full amount after the dude in Washington already drilled through it. What's the point? I paid for it twice. Now, here's the other point. Man, that thing hurt. You ever broken your arm? Now, I've never had a foot out of joint, but I've had a broken arm snapped in two with a bone sticking through. Now, those are two experiences you'd never forget. It's like you don't never forget that. You don't forget when you have a tooth like that. Now, I hope I never have another one. But you know, that's exactly what an unfaithful man is like. Causes a lot of hurt. Causes a lot of damage. Confidence in an unfaithful man is bad. Unfaithfulness is a great contrast to faithfulness. Here's why. Why is that, preacher? What's the contrast? They both have an effect on people. One for the good and one for the bad. Because a broken tooth and a foot out of joint are of no positive value. Matthew
Verse 26 says it like this. A righteous man falleth down before the wicked as a trouble, as a fountain and a corrupt spring. Third thing tonight, constraint. Look at verse 16 and verse 17. See how some of these go together? The conversations go together. You got the negative aspect. You got the positive aspect. You got the conduct. You got the positive. You got the faithful. You got the unfaithful. You got verse number 16. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Verse 17. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. All right? Here's the idea that is all found here. You need to abstain from overdoing it. Now, I'm not going to tell you what happens if you overdo it on eating. But I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm going to give you a thing, something like this. If you burn in a day 3,000 calories and you intake 4,000 calories, something happens. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But something happens. If you eat 3,000 calories and you burn 4,000 calories, something's going to happen. You can figure this out, can't you? It's called restraint. It's called abstaining from overdoing. If you eat too much candy and sugar and Andy's ice cream and you just keep eating it, I'm going to tell you something, what's going to happen. You're going to vomit. And my wife said it like this one time. Okay, so now a lot of people are told that if whatever you put on your plate, you got to eat. All right? But let me give you a piece of advice. You put something on your plate, sometimes if you eat it all, you got to pay for it twice. Here's what a lot of people say. Oh, I paid for this. And I said this one time. They brought me my plate. I ate about half of it. They go, you paid for that? And I go, yeah. And if I eat all of it, I'm going to pay for it twice. And then I'm going to go home, lay down, and go, oh, man. I knew I shouldn't have ate that fourth Andy's ice cream. Wherein brings Abby to where you go. Verse 27, it is not good to eat too much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. Yeah. By the way, Abby knows where the fruit snacks are, all right? Hast thou found honey? Hey, that's okay. Praise God you found honey. Just eat enough that is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit. Probably this would go for every aspect of life. And here's the word. Everybody ready? Moderation. Now, folks, that doesn't just go for food. That's what the context here. But it doesn't go for just food. Oh, by the way, I went to this happened about 15 years ago. I went to a nutritionist, and so he was helping me with some stuff, and he made this. Now this is so true, but it is he was able to put it in words that I was able to understand. He said he was telling me about intake, outtake, calories burning, how much you burn. At your age, you burn this, you know. And now you got every app and application, and you can wear a wristband. You can do this, and they can tell you how many calories you burn and all that. But here's what the guy said. He told me how many calories you would burn if you just sat in a chair all day. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the kind of calories I like to burn the best. Sitting in a chair watching the Cardinals. Those are my best burning calories. I love burning those calories. So he tells you how much, and then all this stuff. And he said, now he said this. Now listen to me. He said, it's all about intake and outgo. If your outtake is more than your intake, then you'll lose weight. He said this. And here's why I'm getting to it. He said, you can just eat Twinkies and Dr. Pepper. And I said, stop right there. Because for me, it would be Ding Dongs and Coke. He goes, oh, I love Ding Dongs and Coke. That's awesome. hopefully when we get to heaven, we'll be able to eat all the ding-dongs and Coke we want and it won't do any harm. He said, you can eat ding-dongs and Coke. You can eat 2,400 calories of ding-dongs and Coke, and that's, and then if you burn 3,000, you'll still lose weight. I'm like, this is awesome. He goes, no, it's not awesome. He said, you'll feel terrible. I thought, okay, here we go. Now you're going to tell me about fruits and vegetables. Anyhow, he did. Honey is good. Listen, folks, you know me. There is nothing more glorious that's ever been put to man's mouth than Andy's ice cream. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Brother Boonstra had never had Andy's ice cream until about a couple of months ago. And you know what he said? Hey, that's pretty good. Well, duh. Mrs. Wilson had never had Andy's ice cream. And I took her for the first time. When she was over at our house and we had the ice storm and we had to get her out of our house. She ate Andy's ice cream for the rest of her life. You know why? Because it's good. But let me give you a piece of advice. You cannot eat blackberry concretes 3 times a day. You can want to, but you can't because it will do harm to you. Look at verse 17. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. Now here's what the Bible says. We need some discernment on how long you stay somewhere. Have you ever heard that? Company and fish are about the same. After 3 days, they begin to stink. Don't overstay your welcome, or your welcome won't be a welcome anymore. Overstay your welcome, you can make an enemy instead of a friend. All right, let me give you one more, and we'll be finished. Let's go to verse number 27, because this is character. Character. It's not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Verse 14, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Now the person who brags about everything he does and how great he is like clouds and wind that promise rain but do not produce it. If you want somebody to say something good about you, let them say it about you. All right? Many windbags. Is that right? Okay to say that? Many windbags over the years in churches claim to give much, but there's little in the record. Let me just tell you what I used to do or what I've done. Okay. What are you doing right now? Many windbags who claim to give much, many times the record shows that's not the case. Somebody say amen. Amen. Seeking the praise of men will produce, listen to this, seeking the praise of men will produce the same effect in character as eating too much honey does to the physical body. That's the point that's trying to be made. Many folks are obsessed with gaining the praise of men. Proverbs 27:2, this is not in chapter 25, but in Proverbs 27:2 it says, let another man praise thee and not thy own mouth. A stranger and not thy own lips. Do not prompt others to praise you because it will become a dishonor, not an honor. If you're doing what God would have you to do and you're doing it right, I don't know. I don't know. I just have to say personally, I don't sit around, personally, as a pastor, I don't sit around wondering what other preachers think about me. I am more concerned about what God thinks about what I'm doing. Mercy. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, what does that mean? Well, you can certainly go to the Old Testament and understand when we preach through the book of Nehemiah and when we preach through the Kings and the Prophets, Israel was unsafe as long as the walls were down. Have you ever heard these evangelicals today and these whatever? Oh, we need to break down walls. You know what I say? No, we need to build walls. Walls are for protection. And here God is saying, He is saying here, listen, if you don't have your spirit in control, then you're vulnerable to the enemy and the attacks of the enemy. And you need to put some walls in your life. You need to put some boundaries in your life. You need to put some standards in your life. Because they will help protect you. And that's what it's saying. A city that is broken down without walls is exposed to the enemy, is very vulnerable to even more destruction. So is the person who does not take control of his own spirit. He's exposed to more evil. He's vulnerable to every temptation. And a man of character needs to be able to control his own self. Well, that brings us down to every one of these things that we looked at tonight, whether it was the last message in the conflict or whether it's been in our speech or our conduct or our character, there's always a contrast. There's this way to do it, and there is this way not to do it. And the Bible's been very clear over the last 35 or 40 minutes on the difference in the two. So, when you find yourself in the positive, don't praise yourself for it. Be humbled about it, if you can do that. If you find yourself in the negative, then you need to say, hey, Lord, I need help. I need repentance. I need to get right with you. And I don't need this negative in my life. My words need to be more, not like a maul and not like an arrow and not lying and not conniving and not self-praising. No, my words need to be encouraging. My words need to be a help to others. And I'm telling you, you know, sometimes people just need a word. A good word of encouragement. And people need good people of conduct and constraint and character. So, really, we could go down back and say, hey, common man stuff. Be a good person. Be a good neighbor. Be the positive and not the negative. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. Proverbs 25, what a great book in the Bible. What a great chapter it is. Words of warning. Words of instruction. Very clearly, just as they were clear to Solomon in the day that he said them and wrote them and spoke them to the people of his generation and his culture, same Word of God applies to us tonight. Maybe a little bit different culture, but still the same principles that are found right there. So I trust that the Lord would speak to your heart tonight, as He spoke to mine in several areas as we were going through this. Father,